holiday, and there's some parents who are not seeing their children, and it's sad. Most parents who divorce and live apart naturally want to have a good, close, loving relationship with their children. But in some cases, a child will reject a parent and resist contact, even going so far as to be afraid of being with that parent. And this is called parental alienation. Joining us to talk about this devastating psychological condition is Dr. David Finn. David, welcome to the show.
Great, thank you.
Dr. David Finn has his doctorate in psychology. He's the owner of Associates in Human Development Counseling. He's a court-appointed evaluator in many in Chicago and many courts in the collar counties. He has clinical expertise in child custody, parental alienation, high-conflict families, and co-parenting. Let's talk about this idea. What does it look like when a child has been alienated by a parent?
Well, Karen, thanks for asking. The alienated child generally is one who rejects contact with that parent with whom they've been alienated. Their rejection often reaches kind of a fervor to the point where it seems like a campaign against that parent. And the rejection extends to other family members, grandparents and other relatives with whom that child has previously had a good relationship with.
So this is not just dad is being a jerk and I hate my dad and I'm not going to see him or his entire family. This is something more than just a parent's bad conduct that provokes a child to reject him.
Yeah, this is an overarching theme that the child develops.
Okay. And does it occur only when there are divorces, or can it occur in an intact family?
You know, I suppose it could occur in an intact family. However, for the most part, it comes to light in the context of a divorce.
Okay. And what motivation would a parent have to badmouth another parent?
Well, oftentimes the hurt and the pain that parent has gone through just in going through the loss of that relationship can be a motivating factor to that parent to badmouth the other parent to the children.
I guess a typical example that I see in my practice, doctor, and it's totally gender neutral, right? We got right.
Correct.
It could be men who are alienating children from their mom and vice versa. But here, an example would be, let's just say the dad cheated on the wife, and so now they're getting a divorce, and now mom is really mad and found out all about the cheating over a number of years, and now she's got the kids, and she's telling them stuff about the divorce, and maybe she's saying, you know, dad's a bad guy, you know, and maybe you shouldn't go on visitation, or maybe she doesn't even really need to say those words. Maybe it's just her attitude and her concern and her animosity that sort of rubbing off on the kids.
Right. So parents often confuse they fail to realize that their ex-spouse is not their child's ex-spouse. And they fail to recognize that there's a important distinction between being a spouse or an ex-spouse and being a parent. And what they fail to do is to promote and to really understand the importance of promoting that relationship between the children and the other parent.
And you are a doctor in this area, and I have done a little bit of reading compared to what you've done. But my reading tells me that one of the most important things you can do is just that, to really actively promote your children's good relationship with the other parent, even if you don't like that person, even if you don't approve of that person, as long as they're not hurting the children, right? They're not harming the children in any way. That's a whole different thing. But it's important, isn't it?
Right. That can be the most important thing to do, but also the most difficult thing to do for parents who are going through or have just gone through a divorce.
So let's just say that there are some parents out there, or they know their children or they know friends, where the children are not seeing them and there's no relationship and they can't get communication. What is it that they should be doing to try to rectify the situation?
Well, a parent who believes that they have been alienated should, first of all, contact an attorney who is skilled and understands parental alienation. And that parent should be seeking some direction from the court to facilitate their ability to resume their contact with their child.
I see all the time, and there's some really good judges out there, and as you know, doctor, but there's some that don't understand alienation. And what they'll see is they'll see a child, perhaps a teenager who's 13 years old, saying, I don't want to see mom. I don't like mom. I don't want to see mom. I don't want to see mom's family. And the judge kind of says, well, that's really unnatural because most kids want to be with both parents. They really do. So mom must have done something wrong. Maybe she needs counseling. Maybe she needs to be examined because she's doing something that is making the child act this way. And I see judges miss that all the time. And do you see that?
Right. So the judges who I know are all good, caring people, and I'm sure you would agree.
I do.
Judges who want to do well by the families and the children whose lives are in front of them. But there's oftentimes a lot of misunderstanding around this whole idea of parental alienation or children who are expressing wishes against being with one parent or the other.
If you have any comments or questions for Dr. David Finn, give us a call here, 312-981-7200. If you've had a situation where maybe you've been alienated from your children, I'd like to hear about it. Someone in the texting line said that the non-custodial parent can also alienate the children. I've seen it. Meaning the parent who doesn't, the non-custodial parent can alienate. So let's just say the children are with mom and go with dad every other weekend in some sort of standard parenting time. Do you see that as well?
Oh, absolutely. Either parent is capable, if they wanted to discourage that relationship between the child and the other parent.
Do you see this play out in court where judges will recognize the syndrome and basically say, if you're not going to encourage a relationship, parent, you're not going to see your kids? Do you see judges do that?
There are some judges who do take that tough line.
When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about what it is that you can do to break this alienation. And I sort of think it's akin to brainwashing in a way, right?
It is.
Because the kid, you know, the kids grow up loving both their parents, no matter what. I mean, even if parents aren't perfect, you know, you see children, they love their parents. They want to be with mom and dad separately and mostly together, but apart. And so when you see them not wanting to be with the parent, it's just a really unnatural situation.
Absolutely. Children are hardwired to love both of their parents.
Right.
Children get spanked and love that parent who spanks them. Children get yelled at and love that parent who yells at them. Children love parents who they visit in jail. So it is completely unnatural for a child who, without any substantial reason, and a child who had a good enough relationship to begin with, for that child to reject a parent.
Give us a call here if you have a comment, 312-981-7200. We're talking to Dr. David Finn about parental alienation and child custody issues on the Karen Conti Show on WGN. Welcome back. We're talking to Dr. David Finn about parental alienation. It's a syndrome where parents brainwash their children to disassociate with the other parent. So I want to finish up this topic. Doctor, what is it that you do when you see a situation? Let's just say that it's a little boy. He's alienated from his mother because dad was saying bad things about mom. What is it that you do in therapy to try to undo what's been done?
So you bring up an interesting point, because younger children generally are less susceptible to the alienation than older children. So with younger children, we look at, and certainly when I evaluate a case, I look at whether or not that child is likely to become alienated if the parents' behaviors do not change. The older children are generally the ones who are alienated and refusing contact, and those children are generally more difficult cases to work with. In therapy, there's a lot of really terrific programs out there. There's Richard Warshak, who's involved with Family Bridges program. There's Overcoming Barriers, which is another program for working with alienation. We also have a program in my practice, which is called Family Ties, which is a 16-week intensive therapy program for families dealing with estrangement and alienation.
And without going into the details, is it fair to say that what you try to do is you try to take the child away from that alienating parent so that you can kind of extricate him or her from that toxic environment?
You know, I like to think of it as removing those alienating influences, not necessarily the parents, but if the parent, if we could work with the parents to understand what they're doing and the effect that that's having on the child, we can hopefully help that child to maintain healthy relationships then with both of their parents.
I got a text from the 815 area code. I would have to disagree to a point. Many teenagers don't like or want to be with their parents in the best of circumstances. She says that she is from has a blended family, and when one of the girls was a teen, she found every excuse not to come on the weekends. We all got along, and everyone was treated fairly. What do you have to say about that?
Well, you know, children sometimes don't like a parent, but I think it's important for parents that they don't give their child a choice in the matter. They don't give their child a vote, that the child is expected to spend the time that they need to spend with the other parent.
Well, that's true, and I tell my clients this. You know, if your child doesn't want to take vitamins or get the flu shot or whatever it is, you don't say, okay, I'm not going to have you do that because you don't want to do it. Same as if you want to go see your, you don't want to go see your dad, you tell your child you're going to have to see your dad because your dad's a good guy and you have to have a relationship with him, and I want you to have a good weekend. Enjoy yourself, right?
Absolutely.
You got to tell your kid what to do. That's part of being a parent.
Absolutely. I mean, parents have to encourage their children and reassure their children that both parents love them and that it's not their fault.
Even if you harbor all kinds of resentments.
Well, and that's about separating the parents' needs from the child's needs.
Absolutely. You talked a little bit about a presentation that you're going to be giving in the future about domestic violence and custody litigation and litigation involving children. Can you tell us a little bit about that? It's very interesting.
This is a presentation on the ways that people can use the court system to exercise control over the other parent.
And how does that work generally? What's the typical case that you're talking about?
You know, the typical case might be one that is perpetuated for months or years with multiple pleadings and court filings or actions intended to limit the other parent's access to the children, to take the children away from the other parent. Oftentimes we see this in the context of coercive controlling domestic violence.
Interesting, where you have maybe a party coming in and bringing motion after motion just to bring the other parent back into court to be reckoned with.
Correct.
I do see that quite a bit, and it's devastating because you have to go to court. There's no option when someone files a motion, and a lot of times the people responding have to hire lawyers, and lawyers are exceptionally expensive, and the process is devastating to the whole entire family, not to mention causing stress for the children.
Absolutely.
You do custody evaluation. We don't use that word in Illinois anymore. We use it parenting time and allocation of decisions. Those are nicer words than custody. But when you get appointed by a court to do an evaluation, you say, Dad wants 50% parenting time. Mom says, no, Dad should only have it every other weekend. Mom says, I should be doing all the scheduling of medical appointments. And Dad says, no, I want to be making those decisions with you. What do you do in your evaluation to give the judge the information that you think he needs to make the decision?
Well, the information the judge needs, it really comes out of a very thorough evaluation of both parents. In my practice, I meet with parents usually 10 hours or more with each parent. I meet with the parents and the children together. I also interview the children. And in addition, there's psychological testing for the parents. There's contact with other collateral sources and also review of the voluminous collateral materials that parents want us to review to help to support their concerns.
I think a lot of people are interested in how much weight do you give to a child who says, I want to be with Mom and I don't want to be with Dad, or I want to spend time with both, 50-50. How much weight do you give, and at what age does a child's preferences, let's say, come into play?
Well, first of all, a child never gets to decide. And the weight that a child's narrative, the weight that I give to a child's narrative is really based on the rationale and the reasons behind the position that the child has taken.
Do you also weigh in the fact that maybe one of the parents has tried to talk to the child to try to get the child to say something positive to go in the way of that parent?
I think it's important for every evaluator to, at the very least, be curious and to be skeptical as to the influences that may be at play.
I want to get back to the custody decisions in a minute, but I've got a caller who wants to talk a little bit about alienation. Paul, welcome to the show. You've been alienated from your child?
Well, it was a case of my first wife tried alienating our four kids, and there was a thing there where the distance between where I lived and where she moved to was about 500 miles. So I didn't get to see the kids very often. And when my oldest one turned 14. Now, this is back in the days when the kids could make the decision at the ripe old age of 14. She walked uptown and got herself an attorney and went over to the county courthouse and got a change of custody.
So, I'm sorry, she came to live with you?
Yes.
Okay. And how did that end up working out?
It worked out quite well.
And I just want to see if there's a happy ending here. Does your daughter have a good relationship with both you and your ex-wife?
Well, my ex-wife is no longer around.
Okay.
She's met her maker in...
Okay.
That's
good. Thank you for sharing your story, Paul. That's another thing that's changed in the law, that parents are really not allowed to move that far away, or if they are, there's going to be circumstances that need to be dealt with if parents are moving that far away, because that makes it very difficult.
It certainly can.
Yeah. So let's go back to the issue of parenting time. And so many parents have it in their head that they want 50-50 parenting time. That's fair. That's what fair is. Fair is 50-50. And, in fact, I think about a couple weeks ago, there was a bill that was introduced in the Illinois legislature that was basically the default mode would be 50-50 parenting time. It wasn't passed. I don't know if it will be passed. But what do you think about this 50-50?
Well, I think it's important for parents to maintain good contact with their children. I think it's important for parents to have equitable contact, but not necessarily even contact. There are no two families that are the same. To presume that 50-50 is best would be to presume that a 14-year-old's needs are the same as a 2-year-old's needs. It would be to presume that parents who live 10 miles away from each other are the same as parents who live 10 blocks away from each other. So I think there are a number of different factors that need to be considered when coming up with a good parenting time plan that is unique for each individual family.
I have clients who, and I understand that they have angst and they don't want to be away from their children, but they literally will calculate the hours and the minutes that the children are with them and with the ex-spouse. And I try to explain to them that what you want is quality time. So maybe an overnight is not quality time because they're just basically going home to sleep, whereas some extended time on a Sunday might be really great time because there's no homework, there's a day where you can spend with your kids and really connect with them. And so that, what, like you're saying, we should be looking at the quality of that time as opposed to the number of minutes.
Yeah, I think it's important for parents to make it their business to be a part of their child's life. And that doesn't just occur on a parenting time plan, but that occurs when that parent is able to go to the child's school, to participate in school activities, to show up to extracurricular activities, to wave to their child from the benches. These are all important capacities of parents who want to be part of their children's lives.
Can children survive a divorce? I think so many parents hesitate to get a divorce because they are so concerned at the devastating effects on children. What do you think? Can children survive this?
Well, children can and do survive divorce. I mean, it is certainly an important and a critical change in their lives, and children are affected by divorce. But children are also affected by living in a home with one or two unhealthy parents who are married to each other.
And watching your children fight is not a good thing to grow up with.
Watching your parents fight, absolutely.
Sorry, that. And you know, it's interesting that I know there's some studies done, and you probably see studies all over the place on this. But I read a really interesting study that said that, you know, if in these high conflict divorces, those are the ones where that conflict lasts. That's when it really affects the children adversely. But if it's just a divorce and parents can get on and they can then go to the extracurricular activities together and they can share custody and they can alternate holidays and they can get along and buy each other Mother's Day and Father's Day gifts, that children can cope with that, and it's not as devastating as we may have thought earlier.
Absolutely. Children are not as invested as in the address at which their parents' mail arrives as they are in being able to maintain a good relationship with both of their parents.
And that should be the goal for everyone. And for everyone out there, even if you don't like your ex, say some nice things about him or her today. Wouldn't that be a good thing to do?
Absolutely.
Doctor, where can people reach you if they want your help?
They could reach me at my practice, the Associates in Human Development Counseling in Palatine, Illinois. Phone number is 847-483-0800. And my website is www.ahdcllc.com.